I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Today's match is in the books, and we're breaking it down. This is your RSL post-match show on the RSL Radio Network.
Welcome into the RSL post-match show here on the RSL Radio Network. We got Spencer Warren, Lauren Beck, and myself, Jay Catch, breaking it down. RSL falls 2-1 in their home opener to Austin FC. As you heard David James mention right before we hit the break, it is the first time Austin has won here in Salt Lake in their brief history as a Major League Soccer club. I'll throw this to you first, Spencer. 2-1 loss. RSL had their chances in this one, but ultimately come away with 0 points.
Yeah, very disappointing, especially with the home opener. And after, you know, getting 3 points on the road in Vancouver and getting back onto to grass in your third game, mm-hmm. I just felt like there was improvement in the second 45 minutes. Certainly some opportunities, some chances there. Not a ton of clear-cut chances, mm-hmm. I should say. But, I mean, you look at the stats and you look at the possession, you look at the passes that were made. There was plenty to be happy about, but ultimately, really, really disappointing that you don't take a point at the very least out of the 90 minutes.
And especially the crowd was into it. Felt like from the jump, it really felt like things were trending the right way. And Lauren, it feels like just a missed opportunity overall.
Oh, 100%. RSL typically has a very good home record. Last season, there were a number of games that RSL dropped points at home that were from winning positions. That's not the case tonight, but it's not how you want to start your season at home.
Correct.
And so, you know, back-to-back losses for RSL after a pretty good showing, well, a good win in the first week, maybe not the best showing. So lots for RSL to work on. You've got Pablo Ruiz and Brian Vera back with the team in Salt Lake, ready to train. So hopefully those two coming into the team can really make a difference, because that midfield is lacking. Brian Oviedo looked absolutely gassed, yes, at the end. Well, for most of the match, to be honest.
I was going to say, even in the first half.
But at the end there was, it didn't seem like there was a lot of desire from him to find that next gear and really push, mm-hmm. through to the end of the game. So having Ruiz and Vera join the team, I hopefully will make a big difference, because there's still so much missing right now.
Yeah, it feels like just that the midfield is not closing down like it should. And it's something that, Spencer, I got to give you credit. From match one so far this season, you identified that as a weakness for RSL. And it's 3 matches in, it's a glaring, glaring issue.
Yeah, it is an issue. And again, you're asking, you're putting round pegs and square holes type deal thing, yes, with regards to the responsibilities of what Ojeda and Loftus send, and what Pablo Ruiz, when he comes in, what they're doing. They are more attack-minded, going forward, more of a box-to-box type. They are not the Scott Caldwell, who's the only real option to sit there. And is he good enough? Probably not to be your number one, number six, starting week in, week out. Again, I think that's something that he can tweak the formation. And actually bring somebody in. You would do the glaring obvious issue, obviously, right now is the spacing. That's something that can be worked on. That's something that's on the training ground that can be improved on. But again, it's still so easy for teams to run through us, even though there was an improvement, I thought, in the second 45 minutes, like we saw up in Vancouver. It just wasn't enough. And if you're going to give up two goals that I'm not going to say that could have been avoided, but could have been closed down, could have been pressured, may have been a different outcome, obviously. But if you're going to give teams an easy two-goal start, then you're going to find yourself struggling throughout 23.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we will let you hear from Pablo Mascherini as well as RSL players coming up on this post-match show. Also welcoming your guys' comments, what your takeaways. Please tweet at us. I'm at Jacob C. Hatch. Lauren is at Lars_MM, or you can send them to our station feed, KSL Sports Zone. We'll have more for you to break this down. RSL falls 2-1 to Austin FC in their home opener. More in a moment right here on the RSL Radio Network. Welcome back to the RSL post-match show here on the RSL Radio Network. Real Salt Lake falls 2-1 in their home opener to Austin FC. Got some reaction coming in that we'll get to here momentarily. I want to throw this at you, Spencer. When it comes, here's the issue with RSL right now is it feels like there's a even with the midfield issues, when they do get their chances in the attacking third, they're not as clinical or as clean as you would like them to be finishing right now either. It's another thing to add on to the already issue of the midfield struggling.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, a lot of the strikes on goal weren't particularly clean. I think that's something that will improve as people get their legs underneath them. I, again, we're on the lookout for a striker, yes. Maybe, you know, spending some money on that. Goals win games. I know it's such a cliche thing, but that's why these strikers, why they get paid the big bucks, because they do the hardest thing in the world. Put the pressure on their shoulders and put the ball into the back of the net. I think Anderson Julio has got more. I thought he was very effective when he came off the bench. I thought some of the hold up play from Rubio Rubin was good. It's now getting Dami into the mix a little bit more, getting the wingers into the mix a bit more. I thought we saw Gomez do quite well, a phenomenal turn in the first half, but then blazed over. A little bit more composure there, and that's why I do think that RSL need to spend some money on that number nine just to put the ball into the back of the net, because RSL have always been kind of the lower goal scorers. They haven't conceded a ton of goals when you look at the over the seasons.
Their totals, yeah.
Yeah, their totals. Yeah. They're always low. One's really good. The other one isn't so good. Yeah. So, yeah, that, again, we had Cordova last season, who you felt like could be the man, but didn't want that pressure and was kind of in fits and starts. We haven't had that consistent goal scorer since Sabrio, and that's been a massive, massive issue for Real Salt Lake.
Yeah, that's the thing about this is it feels like, in some ways, and Lauren, I'm going to toss this to you. Sabo, it feels like almost, for a lot of us, it feels like he was here yesterday, but it's been many, many years since he suited up in an RSL kit, and that kind of exacerbates the lack of a true out-and-out striker at number nine for RSL in the attack.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the last couple of seasons, I think your highest goal scorer had 12 or 11.
Dami was it 11? No, he was 16 and 9. He had 16
goals.
Oh, you
were right.
Yeah.
It was 16.
But for him.
I have that right here.
But Dami's not, he's not a striker.
No. And now, honestly, I think, I hate to say it, but I think it was a fluke. It was a great season for
him. His career suggests that was an outlier. Yeah.
Yes. So given where he normally plays, I would say that's the case. But he didn't play last year. So it's difficult to say. I would love it if it wasn't. But even still, you're looking at 16 goals in comparison to other teams in this league and correct, other strikers in this league. And it's still not quite good enough for what you want. And I don't, it's just, it's difficult to look at the expansion teams and like the advantages they get now, because it was so hard for RSL when they came into the league. and it feels like they've never really quite gotten there, but now it's kind of just gifted to the expansion teams to be like, all right, here's everything you need to be successful, because that's the smart move.
When you're also you don't want to spend more too, in this day and age of Major League Soccer.
It's always been an issue, as Spence said. You have a good defensive team, but a team that doesn't ever really find that star striker. And, you know, it could be a matter of ownership not wanting to spend the money. It could be a matter of people not wanting to come to Salt Lake. I don't know. But it's been an issue for a while, as you said.
And the history of, like, transfers, there are so many I's that need dotting, T's that needs crossing, like signatures that need to be, like, there are so many people involved in those transfers that trying just to find players, and then you can find a player, but then they've got to have so many people sign off between them leaving club they're at versus suiting up for your club over here in Salt Lake. It's a very convoluted situation all the way around, and you're right. There are so many different factors in play, more so than almost any sport out there with soccer, because agents involved, different clubs involved, transfer fees. It's incredible. All right, so we are awaiting Pablo Mascherini as well as RSL players to address the media. We'll bring those to you live as soon as they step to the podium. One other thing real quick on this, Spencer, is when it comes to how RSL is trending early on this season, this is a club, and just from my personal observation, is there have been seasons where they've started fast and faded. There's also been seasons where they've started slow and they've picked it up as the season progresses. Well, they've started slow this season. What do you feel like outside of, okay, obviously you want to see, speaking of the RSL, they need to find a number six, they need to find a number nine. What else can they do in your mind to turn things around here?
Yeah, I mean, it's not to push the panic buttons. Obviously, two games on the road, out of the way, on the turf, out of the way, awesome, fantastic, and getting 3 points, and then coming up against a Seattle team that will probably be there or thereabouts in the Western Conference MLS Cup.
They look apart.
They look fantastic. This one's disappointing, but again, the field wasn't great. I know it wasn't great for both teams. Mm-hmm. That will improve, and I think, as I said, you know, the rumors are that we are in for at least one addition before this transfer window is over and done with. That could be huge. Obviously, no Ruiz, no Vera. A little bit concerned with Justin Glad. Hopefully, that hamstring injury isn't too serious.
Correct.
Because whilst Vera can come in and play, the drop off from Marcelo Silva and Justin Glad to Eric Holt, that's too big a gap.
It's very significant.
It's a massive gap. Left back, I haven't been impressed with Oviedo at all. And hopefully Vera can be that guy as well if Justin's fit. And I think that will more than likely look like your first choice back four. But I think there is an opportunity for things just, and we're talking about fine margins, mm-hmm. Jake. It's real fine margins of getting the press right. When it wasn't just the midfield that wasn't pressing. That front line, they look confused.
They weren't backtracking and trying to press on their side. There's a communication breakdown, it feels like, amongst the different ranks here. Because most people out there, when you watch soccer, you see it. There's very clear breakups. There's the back line, there's the midfield, and then there's the four. And the problem right now, it feels like there's a disconnect between all three.
And it's right through the middle. It's not a close thing. It's a glaring issue that when Dami and Rubio were pressing in the first mm-hmm. half, the centre-back would just step between the pair of them and just pass the ball out. It was so, so simple. And it was just, again, it's things that they can work on the training ground. It's not something that can't be fixed.
Yeah.
But it is an issue if you're trying to press teams.
All right. We are still awaiting Pablo Mascherini as well as RSL players to address the media after this one goes final 2-1. Your final at America First Field as RSL falls in their home opener. We'll have more in a moment right here on the RSL Radio Network.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the RSL Post-Match Show here on the RSL Radio Network. Spencer Warren, Lauren Beck, Jake Hatch breaking things down as RSL falls in their home and opener 2-1 to Austin FC out at America First Field. Still awaiting Pablo Mascherini as well as RSL players. I want to get some of the reaction in here, though, coming in. We'll start off with this one. This one comes into KSL Sports. David Van Hees saying this: not going to mope too much. I think there are positives that RSL can build on. Midfield needs work. Gomez looked great. Having Pablo, speaking of Pablo Ruiz, distribute to him will cause issues for teams. So I'm going to toss this to you, Spencer. How much do you think Pablo Ruiz can do when once he's able to, he's match fit and able to rejoin the 11 either, or even off the bench?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's our main playmaker. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I mean, you've got Savarino, but Savarino needs help, and I think that Ruiz is that guy. Again, I still think the issue is going to be that teams are going to be able to run through us far too easily, and that puts you a little bit of a disadvantage, because for all the good work that RSL were doing, they were chasing the game tonight.
Correct.
And that's you never want that at home. You don't want that full stop. But the fact that they had the chase and they didn't have the option of Ruiz tonight made it that little bit more difficult. Obviously, Luna, I thought, came on, had a little bit of an impact. I want to see a little bit more of him on the field. Again, maybe a tweak in formation. We can talk about this. You know, hindsight is a great thing. I don't watch these guys 5-6 times a week, unfortunately.
Correct.
In training. So they're obviously seeing something. But tonight it felt a little bit slow at times, a little bit predictable. But again, it's all those fine margins that I think can be worked out. And if anybody can do it, and we've seen him do it before, I feel like our coach, Paolo Mascherini, can figure it out, because we've had some really good results and really good runs under his stewardship.
Yeah, well, and his track record suggests he will find a solution, and because that's what he's done during his time as RSL's head coach. Another reaction coming in here, which I'm gonna let Lauren address this one. This is interesting. So it says, this comes from Andrew Lord, and he says that the team looks disjointed pretty much everywhere except the back line. RSL's given up the opening goal in all three matches thus far, and frankly, they're lucky to not be 0-3. I'm not at all confident that Pablo will get the most out of this roster.
I mean, I don't think he's too far off with the 0-3. It was not a good game against Vancouver. It was a good last 30 minutes,
yeah, exactly,
or so.
Yeah, half hour, yeah.
In which they just were more clinical. Mm-hmm. I would say the back line, I agree for the most part on that. I think Oviedo, I'm sorry, that pause is always me trying to remember Ojeda versus Oviedo.
Yes, sure.
Ojeda. That's literally what I play in my brain.
Sorry.
So every time Ojeda gets the ball in the midfield, Spence goes, Ojeda. And so that's literally what I have to do in my brain to feel like that happens in the midfield.
Win.
So Oviedo, I think he looks a little disjointed with this team. But Brody, Marcelo, Justin, they have been playing together for enough time that those three obviously are going to be fine. Zach McMath, along with that back line, will be fine. But I think Oviedo on that left wing is, on that left back position, is just, he looks tired. He looks a little bit lost. Mm-hmm. It's not been good enough from him this season, especially on the first goal tonight. He gave Gallagher going middle. It's like the one thing you don't do as a defender.
You push
him outside,
exactly,
and he let him come back into the middle. Easy. I understand Andrew's points. Uh-huh. I don't agree 100% with them, but I think they are also fair and valid.
I think he also needs a little bit more help, as in, I think he needs a couple more options. And I know I keep harping on.
But you're not
this
wrong.
This isn't the final squad. This can't. If this is the final squad, then front office has got some questions. They've got some proper answering to do, because I think the money's there. You're spending $4 million on a young Colombian in Gomez, who, I, by the looks of it, looks like he could be a real asset to the team. So I don't think it's an issue with scouting. And obviously not 100% getting the deals over the line is not an issue. But if this is it, then this isn't it. It can't be it for if you've got playoff aspirations.
I do hope, if the press conference hasn't started, correct? Okay, I don't have that open currently.
I'm still watching and still saying, waiting for hosts to start this meeting. And
not encouraging.
I also did see a tweet that Josh Wolf, Austin FC's coach, is at the podium.
Oh, okay.
With Apple TV, I think they're requiring both coaches to go to the same podium. So I think we're probably waiting on that. Anyways, continue.
I did have a tweet come just to me from Zach Smith. It says, flat, heavy touches, not clinical, gave Austin all the time to play out of the back. I pay for passion and energy on the field, not new murals, claret lights on the canopy, new sound systems, and 10 rows of safe standing, disappointed but optimistic. Part of me is like, yeah, that's fair.
Sure.
But I do think that this ownership is willing to spend the money, but I think that the front office has to prove to them why they need to be spending that money.
Correct.
And I think you see that with Gomez, because I do think Gomez was a bright spot. I thought he grew into the game. It was a little rough, but man, he had that touch and turn.
We had a few of them.
I think it's there with him. I think it's just going to need some time. But you do need those stadium improvements. You do.
They've been needing that for quite some time.
Yes. Yeah. So I understand the point, but those stadium improvements do need to be made at some point. The new sound system.
They're not taking that money out of the salary cap.
Yes. Yes. No. Thank you. Because that's what I meant I appreciate that.
They're not taking money from, like you mentioned, the salary
pool. It's a
separate
budget.
And by the way, David Blitzer is not, this is not the first club he's owned, folks. He's a very savvy sports owner. This is his seventh club. He's got six of them in Europe, if I'm not mistaken. And of course, Real Salt Lake here stateside. He's also an investor in every other major sports league in this country. The guy understands the business of sports in general.
Yes.
And I think Gomez is evidence of the fact that they're willing to spend money. They spend a club record transfer fee, $4 million. They realize that the going rate right now for transfer fees is going to be a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
And I'm with you, Lauren. I think your point is well taken. If the front office can demonstrate the reason for the need, they will pony up. They will find the money to go out there and spend it on the transfer.
Yeah, it's the front office's job to find the players, but also prove why those players should be purchased and brought to the team. You can't just go to the ownership and say, hey, we want this guy. You have to have a reason and build that trust. And then maybe you do get to a point where you don't have to prove every single purchase. Mm-hmm. But there's still relationships growing. And again, I think the stadium improvements, you can feel it when you're there. Last season, from the beginning of the season to the end, was drastically different. And it was, every single change was for the better.
Correct.
For the better of the fans' experience. And that's important as a fan. I understand what Zach's point here is, but like, for example, pregame we used to do out on like that East Plaza.
Sure.
And you had to go through security to get directly into the stadium.
I do remember.
They moved security out to getting into the plaza, period.
Right, yeah.
And that made the line you could just walk into the stadium. And that made the world of difference for the experience, because then you're not going to the plaza and then going into a line. Like, there's a lot more thought being put into everything that this club is doing. And it will take time to get those pieces in, but I think that they will come if there's just a bit more. There's more willingness to buy, but there's more thought being put into everything that's happening.
Well, Ryan Smith, the name of his company is Qualtrics XM. And a lot of people wonder what the XM stands for. It stands for experience management. His company is built around building experiences, and that translates to the sports world. And you're right. The improvements they've made over there at America First Field, they've all been with the fan and the patron going out to these matches in mind. It's the same thing. I can speak from the Utah Jazz side of things. I went through that entire rebuild, the retrofit of what is now Vivint Arena, $125 million. They've done everything to make it with the fan in mind. You're right. The results on the pitch are ultimately what people are going to ultimately care about.
Yeah.
But to make the experience better just for you to spend your hard-earned dollars to go to, that obviously is a big factor.
And that's the reason why they've sold out 18 straight home games because of those improvements, because people want to come support this team, even though it's not 100% the product they would want on the field. They're still wanting to spend that money because it's something that they're starting to believe in again. And I think that that was waning for there for a while.
Another 20,000 plus in the stands tonight, Spinell.
I will say this as well, and this is kind of important to realize that if you're shopping for players right now, we're the only market that's pretty much open. So if it is a quality player, a team doesn't want to sell a quality player right now and mid-season, not be able to buy a player until the summer.
Recoup that. Yeah.
So the summer... Now, if this is a fringe player for a team and has got plenty of upside, then sure, I'm sure they will allow that player to leave. But it is an easier market, even though it's mid-season for us, it's an easier market to maneuver in during the summer to get those players that are on, you know, end of their contract in Europe, or there's enough time for those European teams to bring in a replacement as well.
Yeah. The scouting perspective.
Yeah, no, that, but it's a very valid one at that, because clubs, they're smart. They're in the business of sports as well. They're not going to just let pieces leave and have no way to recoup that loss either. All right, we are still awaiting RSL post-match. I don't know if Austin decided they were going to go long or whatever, but we'll take another timeout. We'll come back. Can you break this down? We love. We're still soliciting all of your guys' feedback. We'll get to more of those comments as well. And yes, we will get you Pablo Mascherini as well as RSL players as they come to the podium. This is the RSL Postmatch Show right here on the RSL Radio Network.
Brody from 30 yards out. Whips the ball in. Justin Glad, the shot off Stuberin in. Glad's got his second goal, and it's 1-1, 22nd minute.
Welcome back to the RSL post-match show here on the RSL Radio Network right there. The lone goal for Real Salt Lake tonight in their 2-1 loss. Justin Glad in the preseason said he was going to get 5 goals this season, and I'm not going to lie, I chuckled a bit. I thought it was a cute comment from him. Well, 3 matches in, he's got 2 goals already on the season, and I don't know. He's definitely on track to either equal or surpass that, it looks like, Spino.
Yeah, I mean, he's scoring a goal every other game, right? So he's on course.
Not
for
a bad trend right now.
Yeah, you know, being that 20-goal striker that we were missing for 8 seasons now since Sabrio.
I did tweet. I said, hey, he scores goals. Put him into the number 9. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah. He had 3 last season, so he's on track to beat that and on track for the 3. It'd be pretty great, I think. Let's get him past 5. 5, at this point, 5 seems low.
Yeah, 3 matches in, no doubt. The funny thing, I saw somebody tweet after he scored that goal. They said a quick check of the Major League goal. It's like, he's second in the Golden Boot standings.
So, let's go.
Hey, we'll see what happens. All right, welcome back. Lauren Beck, Spencer Warren, Jay Catch breaking things down as RSL falls 2-1. Still awaiting RSL to start their post-match press conference with Pablo Mascherini. We'll get to that to you as soon as possible. Now, let's talk a little bit. I want to get to one other reaction here on social media. Let me pull this up here. It comes from our good friend Jeff Carroll, actually a former producer of ours here at the KSL Sports Zone when we broadcast from. He says, a very disappointing result. Said, first Austin goal, he said, I could understand and expecting the shot from distance so you don't have to close the space, but to let it happen a second time is a problem. All right, it looks like actually we have RSL sitting down. I've got Christian, where did he go? Looks like we're sitting down. So Pablo's sitting down right now, so let's throw it right out to Pablo Mascherini. We'll get to that reaction in just a moment.
Obviously, you know, not the result you wanted in the home opener. But I'm curious kind of maybe what you thought were some of the bigger chances that you guys had. For me, it seemed like in the first half, between kind of the 20th and 30th minute, there were some chances right after the first goal that you could have capitalized to go up, and they didn't happen. So is that something that you look back on, like, man, we had them and they kind of left?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's goals change games, and I think I think if we find the second one there, obviously it's a completely different game. We weren't able to capitalize on that, and I think the frustrating part was the amount of space we kind of left in the middle of the field. And we'll go back and look at that. We worked on a couple different schemes. So I got to go back and look at, you know, the way we set up. But again, I think, the response in the second half was great. I think we created a bunch of half chances where if we were a little bit cleaner with our decisions, cleaner with the shot, I think we, you know, we could have very easily found ourselves 2-2, but it's why we play the games. And more importantly, you know, I think the focus for this week was really to dictate the game with the ball and really put a huge emphasis on that this week. And the guys did a great job of that. And something that wasn't there in the first couple games. So it's a long season. The most important thing is that, you know, we get one game better. And I think if we, you know, tidy up those things really on both sides of the ball, we'll find ourselves in a different spot.
Coach, I'm curious, just your thoughts on the Royals being back in the market.
Yeah, no, I think it's really exciting. You know, I was able to speak with Amy a few days ago, and she's really excited. Is that not? Not. Yeah. Is that? No. No. She's in a lot of the former players. Yeah. Yeah. And prep me for these questions. Anyways, you know, I've been on quite a few ownership meetings for the past year, and it was something that was always in our meetings, and it's really important to ownership to continue to grow the brand. And I know that they were a big hit when they were last here. I know that there's a lot of young girls playing soccer in the community. And there's nothing more important for young players to have heroes to look up to and to have professional women in their backyards, I think is tremendous for the sport, tremendous for the club, and really, really excited about them coming on board.
Hey, Pablo, thank you for your time today. I want to ask you kind of about Diego Luna, bringing him in the 76th minute in this game. How do you feel that he best fits into the formation that the team's playing? And do you feel that there's any strategic changes that need to be made when he's onto the field?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I think Luna did well when he came in. You know, obviously, when we're playing with a double pivot, Brian Ojeda takes more of a sitting role and allows Diego to move forward. So from that perspective, you know, I think that's a change we have to make. We don't have currently a six, a destroyer. But what we do is we got a lot of graft in the middle of midfield. So, you know, I think he did a good job. I think he created a couple half chances. And, you know, Diego Luna has been playing left wing. He's been playing in the 10, and he's been playing as a pivot, which basically becomes an eight. You know, I think it's important for a young player to be able to play all those. As far as, you know, I think it's a competitive group, and, you know, I think every minute he has, he's done well with. And so I think it's a good step in his progression as a top pro. 6 minutes
later, we saw Justin Glad go down with what seemed kind of like an injury. And it seemed to be that there was kind of a conversation on the sideline of Justin Glad not necessarily wanting to come out of the game. Was that substitution made wholly precautionary reasons, or was it just kind of take him out of the game and replace him with Holt at that point?
No, it was precautionary. Glad's been dealing with a hamstring all week. He missed a session this week because of it. He got a scan this week, and he said he was cramping. And, you know, we don't want to lose Justin, and he wanted to stay in. He wanted to take some goo, but at times we got to override that to do what's best, not just for Justin, but do what's best for the team.
Thanks for the time, as always. Gavin Beavers and Thomas Gomez have kind of flip-flopped on the bench. Is there a plan to get either of those two, either Open Cup or Leagues Cup minutes this year?
Yes. Just
what does the backup spot look like?
Yeah. You know, again, I think Beavers is a player who's done really well and played a couple games in the preseason. Tomas is obviously an experienced vet that's been around for quite some time. You know, I think there's you know, we want to give, again, being a developmental club, we want to give, you know, Gavin some opportunities. He went on the first game to Vancouver and got that experience. He was here at home. So it's just a balance between making sure that he gets enough games to continue to progress his development, but also giving him first team minutes And you know, again, both those players are fantastic every week, and it's just finding the right time and opportunity to give them the minutes that they deserve.
And then you mentioned you didn't have a six or a destroyer. Is that a position that ownership in the front office is looking to fill?
It's a position that we've definitely talked about. You know, last year, you know, when Everton left, you know, whether it was Pablo and Jasper, Scotty and Jasper or Pablo, whatever combination, we felt like we can do the work, and it was more industry. But none of these players are natural born killers in there, like a destroyer six. But they can do the work. And so it's something that we've talked about, and something that, you know, we all feel is important to make sure we have that. Cause then again, you can, at that point, change your setup a certain way, tactically. But to ask any one of those guys to be the one guy that allows the other two guys to get forward, it'd be a tough ask. So we feel like the partnerships have been good. And again, I think tonight Jasper and Brian played well and did a lot of great work defensively, covered some good spots. And so we get Pablo back for the next game finally. And so we'll have some different options.
Any other English questions before we get to the Spanish portion?
Hey, Pablo. So Justin's got a couple goals throughout the first three games here. Is that part of the plan to get him forward more often?
Only on set pieces. Obviously, that's an area that we've kind of been focusing on. Obviously, not having last year, Serge was our leading goal scorer, and obviously no longer with us. So, you know, we got to score goals by committee. And you know, I think tonight Gomez had some good looks. I think Sava had a couple good looks. Rubio had a couple good looks. Dami had a couple good looks. And it's just about hitting the back of the net. But again, at this point, early on in the season, you know, again, I think we have to find the right combination. And we'll continue to do that until we, you know, start banging some goals in with the guys up front.
Thank you. Just allow him to translate your question before we get to the end.
That's it. Pablo, gracias. Perder un partido con dos goles de básicamente jugadas individuales, ¿te trae algún sentimiento y preocupación y que no hayan sido los hombres que deberían hacer los goles en Austin, sino otros jugadores?
So does, you know, the two goals are basically individual efforts. Does that give you any worry, especially since they weren't kind of the players you'd expect to score those type of goals?
Sí, fueron dos goles raros. El primer gol lo clavó en el ángulo con la pierna más débil, y el segundo gol también fueron tiros de, no sé, 25 metros, son goles raros. Pues tenemos que mirar el video para ver cómo lo podemos corregir, pero la única manera que te puedo explicar es, así es el fútbol, a veces te toca. Yo creo que la frustración mía fue que creamos bastantes oportunidades y no lo pudimos definir. So, yeah, I said, you know, I think the first goal, I think both those goals were, you know, from 25 yards out. You know, the first goal, I think Gallagher hits it with his left foot and he's right footed. And he hits it in the upper 90. And, you know, I think it's football. The fact that DeRussi or someone else didn't score and you know, Wolf and Gallagher score, you know, you could tip your hats off to them for being brave enough to take those shots. And we'll go back and look at video to see what we need to do better to correct those moments. But I guess the only way I can explain it is it's just football.
La última. A pesar de una derrota, ¿alguna conclusión que sacas tú de este partido positivo? La presencia de Gómez, de algún otro jugador, Anderson Julio, el mismo, bueno, el que entró de segundo tiempo, Diego Luna, gracias. Diego Luna, ¿alguna conclusión que tú hayas sacado que te más o menos te alienta de ellos?
So even though there's a loss, I mean, is there a positive to take out of it, whether that's Andres Gomez, his presence throughout the game, Diego Luna, or any other player in specific?
Yeah, but I mean, cada jugador tiene su rol en el equipo. Y cuando lo hacen, somos un mejor equipo. Para mí, mirando los primeros dos partidos, lo que no me gustó es que no tuvimos confianza con el balón. Hoy día, todos los jugadores que nombraste se animaban a jugar con el balón. Los centrales se animaban a hacer pase largo, encontrar los mediocampistas. Y para mí, somos un mejor equipo hoy día que fuimos la semana pasada en Seattle. Y por eso es un campeonato largo y tenemos que seguir mejorando en todas las posiciones. Y yo creo que si hacemos eso, podemos llegar a donde queremos, que son los playoffs y mantener un partido aquí en casa.
Gracias.
I said, it's not so much about the individual. I think every individual has a role to play. And the focus this week was really on being better with the ball. And all the players that were named, along with the center backs and the pivots, doing a really good job of being brave on the ball, finding passes between the lines, turning them. I think we're a better team today than we were in the Seattle game. And for me, that gives me hope that we're moving in the right direction. And the focus for us is to get one day better every single day we're training, and more importantly, on the weekends, to be able to execute on both sides of the ball to become a better team. And if we do that, then I have no doubt that we'll be where we want to be at the end of the season.
Thank you, Pablo.
Thank you, everyone.
There you go. Pablo Mascherini addressing the media after RSL falls 2-1. And Spencer, I think you and I picked up on something. He has made it very clear they need a number six.
Yeah, I mentioned it a few times. Uh-huh. And I don't know if that's just him answering the questions or, as we were talking off air, maybe just a message to the front office.
Now, let's get back down to America First Field. Justin Glad, tonight's goal scorer, addressing the media. Here you go.
Okay. Hey, Justin, thank you for your time today. I just asked Pablo a little bit about the conversation you had had when you had been subbed out in the 82nd minute, I believe is what it was. How are you feeling after leaving the game, and do you feel like you'll be able to go in 2 weeks?
Yeah, no, I feel great. It was more precautionary. We're on the same page, and I'll definitely be ready to go. So,
beginning of the season, you said that one of your goals was to to score more than 5 goals this year, and you've already got 2 goals in 3 games. Is that something that you, I guess, are explicitly trying to do this season, is to get on the goal sheet more to help the team win games?
I don't know. No, I would say, you know, I've always been trying to score goals. I've just been saying it more out loud this year. And, you know, it's just same thing happened last year, and I only ended with 3. So I just got to keep it going and hopefully hit that goal.
Hey, Glenn, you score every week. You do the Apple stuff. So.
Every week. You got to keep signing me up.
Justin, I see the sweatshirt that you're wearing. Obviously, you've been around long enough to experience the Royals being here, the Royals leaving, and now they're back. What are your thoughts on them being back in the market?
No, it's huge. I love it. They're such a huge part of this community. They're such great role models for everyone. And I'm excited to have them back. Excited to, I probably won't be able to see him play any home games, but excited to have him back in town for sure.
We talked about your goal. Were you a little surprised that you were the only one to score from the team tonight?
Yeah, you know, it felt like we were right there for a lot of the game. We had, you know, the one that Saba hit and they tipped it wide. I felt like we were knocking on the door all night and it just didn't fall our way. But, you know, there was a lot of good stuff to build on. And you know, that's the game of soccer. I'm sure there'll be some games we deserve to lose and we win, and there'll be some games we deserve to win and lose, and that's just how it goes.
Justin, you mentioned there's going to be some games you're going to win that you should have lost and vice versa. First of all, do you feel like you guys should have won this game? And what were some bright spots that you took from it?
Yeah, I thought we definitely put ourselves in a position to win. I thought we created a lot of good opportunities. What was the second part of that question? Sorry.
Just what were some bright spots?
It was, I thought Rubio played really well. That was, you know, obviously he didn't feature the first game, but I thought he did incredible. It's been fun seeing more and more of Gomez, Sava again, and just the guys coming off the bench, providing that spark. I thought Diego and Miriam, you know, everyone who came in contributed and kept the pressure high. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody?
Cool.
Let's do the Zoom if you guys want to let Jesus in.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Is still the coach still there?
No, we've moved on to Justin Glad. Do you have any questions for Justin Glad?
Yes. So, speaking of, we won the first game against Vancouver. Then we have two consecutive losses. Since you are on the field, what do you think that we can improve in the way down to actually get more victories down the road?
Yeah, I thought even from the first two games, the possession and just the quality on the ball wasn't quite there. I thought tonight it was more there. Obviously, there's still room to go, but we felt more confident on the ball. You could see we had more possession of the ball, and I think if we just keep building on that and keep training that and being sharp, then the wins will come. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Any other questions on Zoom?
Thank you, Justin.
Cool. Appreciate y'all.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Justin Glad addressing the media. He did come off with a hamstring injury. And Lauren, with your match notes from last year, you actually came up with a very nice comparison. You actually something tracking about the same as last year.
Yeah. Justin being out with a hamstring injury sounded awful familiar. And it turns out in game four last season, it was the same situation. Came out with a hamstring injury, missed 2 weeks of games, four games, mm-hmm. came back, captained against Colorado Hailstorm in the Open Cup.
Okay.
And was fine after that. So if last year's any indicator, he will maybe just miss one more game.
Well, because they have a bye week coming up this coming week, yeah.
So if it's a bit more serious than he let on, then I would expect a little bit more than that. But, you know, based on previous injuries, may not be too bad.
Well, and his tone, that's one thing I was asking you, Spencer. His tone, he seemed fairly upbeat, all things considered.
Yeah, almost dismissive of, mm-hmm. of any issue. Yeah. Maybe that's just calming the situation down. You know, it's not always everybody's business to find out about people's injuries. But, with there being a bye week, I'm hopeful that's just a non-issue because he is a massive miss. Makes us better. We're able to play a higher line because of his recovery speed, which should, in fact, stop those gaps in between the midfield and the back line. But again, with Pablo admitting that we're in desperate need of a six, you know, we don't know how disciplined the central midfielders are going to be.
Well, and I think he's trying to get a message. A lot of times with coaches, they're speaking to their team and also in some ways with the front office through the media. And I think he's making a message to his players saying, okay, we need number six. You guys need to step up in the meantime and clean it up. All right, so we'll see if any other players step to the podium. If they do, we'll carry that for you guys. If not, we will take a look around Major League Soccer as well as a quick look ahead 2 weeks from now when Real Salt Lake welcomes St. Louis City FC to America First Field. So more in a moment. This is the RSL Radio Network. Welcome back to the RSL post-match show here on the RSL Radio Network. Lauren Beck, Spencer Warren, Jake Hatch breaking it down as RSL falls in their home opener 2-1 They lose to Austin FC. They are going to have a bye week next week. They have a bye early on in this Major League Soccer season before they welcome St. Louis City FC or SC? Are they?
SC is their Twitter
SC,
handle.
Okay. So they will be coming to America First Field for their first ever trip to Utah. Spencer, this St. Louis team is off to a flying start. Lauren read it in the break. Off to say that they are the first team since the LA Galaxy in 2015 to win three straight come-from-behind matches, and obviously the first team to do that to start a season. They're rocking and rolling right now.
Yeah, and they play some really attractive soccer as well. They're really, really fun to watch. I just think that this is a team that doesn't care what your record is, who you are. They go about their business. They're a big team as well. When you look at them, I mean, João Klaus is someone that you're going to look at. He's going to be the focal point of the attack, the number nine, the Brazilian. Mm-hmm. But you look at the big bodies they have around. Tim Parker, I've always been a huge fan of him. A really, really good communicator on the field. And when it was a little bit quiet, when he was at Houston, it was a bit kind of quiet in the stadium, and all I could hear was him on the field. This is from the press box, mm-hmm. him communicating and just organizing. I think he's a phenomenal center back. And yeah, pity that we couldn't have maybe made a run for him. But yeah, I think this is a really, really solid team that is playing some very attractive soccer. And again, I think it's an exciting opportunity for us as fans to get to see these newer teams coming in and pitting our wits against a team that's been well built and a coach that has got them immediately playing some very attractive soccer.
Klaus, just for people, he's 6'3", but he looks bigger than that. Just the way he's put together, he is a well put together athlete. No doubt about
quick
that.
Feet, yes. And he's got good vision as well. You know, we saw him a couple of times tonight against Portland. Some of the flicks and some of the passes he made to get the other attackers in and around on goal. I just think he's going to be an absolute handful. And Justin Glad is definitely going to be needed. And Marcelo Silva, he's going to need the rugged side of Marcelo Silva to try and disrupt the big Brazilian.
All right, before we go, let's take a look around how Match Day 3 at Major League Soccer went. Lauren, will you do us the honors, if you don't mind?
Yeah, we're going to go through them all. Okay. Charlotte lost at home to Atlanta. Vancouver and Dallas played to a 1-1 draw. Cincinnati beat Seattle 1-0. DC United and Orlando drew one apiece. NYCFC beat Miami 1-0, as well as Philadelphia over Chicago. Toronto and Columbus also playing to a 1-1 draw, as well as Minnesota and New York Red Bulls. Kansas City and LA Galaxy were 0-0. Kind of surprising from those two teams. Mm-hmm. Nashville beat Montreal 2-0. Real Salt Lake losing their home opener 1-2 against Austin. St. Louis also getting a road win tonight 2-1 against Portland. And San Jose getting a home win against Colorado. Tomorrow, LAFC will host New England Revolution. And Tuesday, we resume CONCACAF Champions League play.
Should be an interesting one. LAFC tomorrow against New England should be an interesting. That's actually what I would imagine should be a fairly high-scoring match, at least on its head. Would you agree with that, Spencer?
Yeah, obviously LAFC champions and champions for a reason. An ownership group that decided to spend a ton of money, mm-hmm. Not only on veterans, but they did a really good job when they first came into the league of going down to South America, picking up some good pieces and then selling them on for a solid profit as well. New England, it's kind of up in the air. I'm kind of interested to see what happens because, again, it's a team that's been around since the day dot. And it just feels like it's a side piece mm-hmm. Sometimes to me. As the league has expanded and got bigger and more teams have come along, New England Revolution just seem to have been left behind a little bit.
Just one other thing on Montreal. They've three matches on the road, 0-3, zero goals scored. Montreal's had a really rough start this year. Obviously with the former RSL man, no, I just lost
Aaron Herrera.
Aaron Herrera playing wing right back for them. Bit of a surprising start for them.
Yeah, and losing your coach, doing the good work he did in Montreal, now going down to Columbus Crew. I think that's a big one there. And again, that's a team that don't mind spending a bit of money as well. Mm-hmm. So you expect them to either make a change at the coaching if it's not right. They don't have an issue pulling the trigger there, yeah. or bringing in some high profile or some more expensive players that'll come in and fight for places.
All right, as we wrap things up here, any final thoughts from either of you two that feel like we have not addressed on tonight's post-match show?
No.
I just want some goals from the forwards.
Yeah. Well,
and we talk about confidence. Goal scorers, mm-hmm. You know, when they're putting the ball into the back of the net, the world is everything is rosy. When they're not, then the pressure starts to build up, and that's where we're going to start to see issues. So hopefully Anderson Julio and Rubio Rubin in a couple of weeks can maybe find the back of the net or be that threat where they're opening up, getting in good positions. Because if they're not, if you're getting into good positions and missing, that's fine because you're getting into those areas. If you're not and you're snatching your chances because they are just half chances, that's an issue for me, and that's what we've seen so far. It's just been more of a half chance rather than real good clear cut chances.
Nice to see him open an account. There's no doubt about that. Anything from you, Lauren?
No, I totally agree. I mean, they've got 2 weeks to work through the glaring issues from tonight.
Sure.
You've got 2 weeks to get Vera and Ruiz back to whatever speed they may need to be, whatever they've been doing in their time before being able to make it to Salt Lake. To get Gomez a bit more comfortable with everybody and to really focus on the things that they need to do to shut down the St. Louis team that is 3-0-0 to start the season, top of the West. And they will remain top of the West until the next match against Real Salt Lake, because LAFC is the only Western Conference team that needs to play again this week, and they have only played one game. This is their second game tomorrow. So they will stay top of the West, and they are a formidable team, as Spence was saying. They've built it well, and they have a lot of energy about them right now. Maybe the bye week will take a little bit out of their sails, but it's going to be a big one. You don't want to lose three straight and two of those at home in... It's an important one coming up in a couple weeks.
That pressure, as Spence talked about, it would absolutely build.
But Spence was supposed to say this. If the playoffs started today.
Yes. Spence brought this up. Three matches into the season of a 34-match schedule. If the playoffs were to start today, Real Salt Lake still in a playoff position.
Please understand that's a joke. We are not looking at the playoffs already or thinking that this team should be in the playoffs right now. Thank you.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for tonight. Of course, we'll be back in 2 weeks. As Real Salt Lake has mentioned, we'll welcome in St. Louis City SC to America First Field. Thank you to all of you for your interaction. Thank you to Christian for producing for us tonight. For Spencer, for Lauren, I'm Jake. Have a great rest of your night. This has been the RSL Postmatch Show right here on the RSL Radio Network.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.